Here we go. How to feed the fire and make camp highs last. All right. Who knows what I'm talking about when I use the phrase camp high? Raise your hand if you know what a camp high is. Very good. All right, good. This is relevant. Everybody will understand. All right, I personally know what a camp high is, and I'm going to define that for you in a minute, but I want to show you my own experience, how I understand. Growing up, I was a camper for 6 summers at a camp in Branson, Missouri called Kanakuk. Anybody ever been to Kanakuk out there? Okay. Okay. Here's a picture of me as a camper at K Country. At Kanakuk. That's me on the left. On the left, not on the right. So really handsome. I was probably 11 or 12 in that picture. And here's another one at camp. That's me on the left as well. Ironically, the t-shirt that I'm wearing says Feed the Fire. And that was probably when I was 12 years old. And the theme at Kanakuk that summer was Feed the Fire. And that is the theme of tonight's message, is how do you feed the fire. And then here's another one a little bit older at K West. I'm in the bottom left looking dapper with my hand on my this pose. It's pretty cool guy there. And then here's a close-up of me from that year at camp. Hey, it's cool guy pose. Hey, I'll just apologize if I cause any girls to stumble with that picture. That's just there. So here's my experience. For 6 years, every summer, has anybody gone to Kanakuk longer than 6 years? Anybody got me beat? How many? 9? 12? Huh? 7. Man. What do you get for going 12 years? Do they give you like a diamond motorcycle? A what? A four-wheeler? Are you serious? No. Okay. I know what they give you. They give you a pair of cut-off jean shorts. A keychain? That's terrible. I would not go to that camp. Man, it wasn't worth it at all. I would trade in the keychain for some jorts, Bert. All right. So every year, though, I would go to camp. And this doesn't just count for Kanakuk. This counts for Pine Cove, T-Bar-M, whatever camp you go to. This counts for D-Town or the ski trip or the Pine Cove retreat, or it counts for a school retreat. Like, it counts for any retreat. It counts for a season in your life when you are on fire for God. And hopefully, because so many of you guys raised your hands, you know what I'm talking about. But every year, I would come back from Kanakuk. And Kanakuk was a Christian sports camp. And I would spend 2 weeks there. And we would study God's word. We would sing songs like we sang tonight. We would have quiet times. We would always just talk about the I'm third life. God first, others second, yourself third. And like, I would always have this camp high. And here's how I define a camp high. It's a feeling. All right, it's a feeling that you have of nearness to God. Like, I'd have this nearness to God. I'd feel so close to him while I was at camp. And it would be characterized by joy. Like, I would just be so happy all the time at camp. Like, I'd never complain. I'd never gripe. You guys know the feeling. And then I'd have peace. And then I'd have this heartfelt commitment not to go back to an old way of living. Like, whatever it was that year that I didn't want to go back to, that was part of the camp high, is I would just have this feeling. It was like, man, I'm close to God. This feels good. This feels right. All is right in the world. And I don't want to go back to the old way. But what happens every year? What? What happens every year? Hang on, let me just ask you. What happens every year? You go back. You go back to the old way. Like, you either backslide or you're on fire and you cool off. Or like, whatever it is, that commitment seems to wane and you drift away. And then you end up like with your small group leader or your youth pastor. You say, hey, I want to go out to breakfast. And it's, let me see when this is in. This is in, whoa, it's a long conversation. In March. And you end up talking afterwards and you say, I'm changing my life. It's been way too long since I've been close to God. So you come back around in March and you realize, man, there was a time before in my life when I had this nearness to God, and then I've drifted away from it, and it's been too long, and I want to come back. And so the topic of tonight's message is, how do you feed that fire all year long? How do you make the camp high last so that you don't have a spiritual roller coaster of highs and lows? And maybe you still have some dips, but it's more consistent highs and the lows aren't as low. Because everybody that has been a Christian has had some sort of experience like this. If you're not a Christian here tonight, we're glad you're here and you're welcome to come here. But I want you to know that as soon as you put your faith in God and you trust Christ, you're probably going to experience something like this where you feel this nearness to Him and then this distance from Him. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how do you keep it? How do you feed the fire? Because I've had this experience, and this is crazy. This past February, I went to Israel. A year ago, I went to Uganda. And these were crazy experiences for me. Before those trips, I've only been out of the country one time, and that was for a weekend in Cancun to go to a destination wedding. Other than that, I'd only been in the United States. So I was looking forward to going to Uganda thinking, man, I'm going to come back with this high. It's going to be life-changing. I thought the same thing about Israel. And after these two trips, these last 2 years, I want to tell you what I've learned. I realized that I had a great time on those trips, but I didn't come back with a spiritual high. And after Uganda, it kind of wigged me out. Like, I was like, I just went to Uganda. I was in Uganda. That's in Africa for 2 days. I'm supposed to have this life-changing, spiritual, mountaintop, crazy, like blow-me-away experience. And it just kind of felt like the same as all my life. And so I was sitting there after I got home from Uganda going, what is wrong with me? What happened to my heart? Why is it so hard? And as I began to process that with the Lord, here's what I realized in my time with Him, was that there was nothing wrong with my heart. It was actually revealing what was right with me, and that I had an ongoing, abiding relationship with God, and I was serving Him so consistently that when I went to do that in Uganda, it wasn't any different than what I was doing here in Dallas. And so it was just a blip on the radar screen. It wasn't this mountaintop that I came crashing down off of. The same thing when I went to the Promised Land and spent, you know, 12 days in Israel. It was an incredible experience. I loved it. But my heart didn't like shoot up where I came down for a crash. And so as I began processing this, I began to understand several things about how my walk with God has been maintained. And I want to share some of those things with you. And specifically tonight, I want to share with you one thing, which I think for you could be the one thing that could make all the difference. Now, I want to just tell you this on the front end. There's more than one thing. But tonight I want to share with you what I think could be the most powerful thing for you. This is what I put on Instagram earlier this afternoon, was tonight's topic is how to feed the fire, make camp highs last, and it's the single most important thing you can do that could make all the difference. So before I tell you what that one thing is, let's go back and define camp high. So we all know what causes the camp high. So what causes it? So there's the definition. What causes a camp high? I'm going to rule out a few things for you. All right, here's the first thing. God is not more present in Uganda or Israel or Pine Cove or Kanakuk or on a ski trip. He's not more present there than He is here. We just sang the song, Holy Spirit, right? And it said, let us experience your presence, okay? His presence is fully here. In order to experience it, we've got to get our own junk out of the way, but He is pressing into you. I once heard a worship leader at an event I was at say in a prayer, God, we reach up to heaven and we're reaching up and we want to grab you and pull you down to meet with us here in this place. And I was like sitting there listening to this prayer and I'm trying not to judge someone's prayer, but I'm going, really? Like, God is distant and running away from us, and we're like, I'm going to grab your leg and pull you down, God. Come here. Like, that's not the God that I know. The God that I know is like pushing into you. Even right now, He's pushing into your heart. He desires to be near to you. And the only thing that keeps me from God isn't that His presence isn't already filling this place. It's that I'm filling my heart with things besides Him. And if I just get those things out of the way, whew, He is rushing in. He is knocking at the door That's what Revelation says, that Jesus is standing at the door of your heart knocking. So camp highs aren't caused because Kanakuk or Pine Cove, I'll just use those as an example. You fill in the blank, whatever yours is. They're not like this holier place where God's presence like settles and dwells, and it does not dwell in your school or in your house or in this church or in this city. But once you go through those gates, it's like this magical, you know, fairy dust of the Spirit is here. Like that's not, there's not, God doesn't have a pitcher up in heaven and he's not like going, all right, I'll pour a little bit here on Park City's Baptist. I'm going to pour some on Park City's Pres and here's some on Watermark. Like that's not how God works. God is everywhere. He's everywhere. So it's not because there's these places that God's just there, and if you can just get there, then you'll be near to God. And if you could just stay there, then you would be near to God and your spiritual high would last. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. It's also not that there's a they have a better version of the Bible there. Like they don't. It's the same. The same Bible is there that you have sitting by your bed in your room. The same Bible is there that's taught over there on Sunday morning, that's taught here on Sunday night, that's taught in your young lives and in your K lives and in every church around here. They don't have a better Bible. The counselors at camp, they're awesome, but they're not any more spiritually mature, or not any more well-trained than the small group leaders that you have here, than the young life leaders that are in your schools, than the teachers that lead your FCAs and the pastors at churches all around here. They're not like... They don't have some special degree or training in leadership that enables you to connect with God in a different way. And so what is it? Like what causes the camp high? And this holds the secret, all right, to how you maintain the camp high. And here's what it is. It's the environment. It's the environment and really the surroundings. And it's not the way the camp is built. It's not in what you do. It's who's there. You see, when you're in an environment where you are surrounded by peers that are all Christians or pursuing God, that has an incredible influence on your life. And that is what I think causes this feeling of nearness to God and this joy and this peace, is that you're at a place when you're on a retreat or a ski trip or at camp where being a Christian is cool. It's accepted. And we are all acceptance magnets. Turn to a friend like I had you do earlier and tell them this. You are an acceptance magnet. Everybody say it to someone. Here's the thing, guys. You might think, oh, no, I don't care about that. Listen, if you're not an acceptance magnet, you're a rejection magnet. And nobody's a rejection magnet. Like, nobody gravitates towards people that reject them. All right. So if there are people that are mean to you, you don't like go, oh, I want to hang out with them more. You don't ever do that. You gravitate towards people that accept you. Okay? You gravitate towards people that accept you. And acceptance leads to influence. Because we are addicted to acceptance and we're magnets towards acceptance, we will be influenced by whatever is acceptable. So if it is cool to be a Christian, we're going to be influenced to be more Christian. So at camp, it's cool to have a quiet time. So you're going to gravitate towards that. You are going to be influenced by the acceptance of a person who has a quiet. At camp, it is cool. You're going for an award at Kanakuk called the I'm Third Award. So you are trying all week, and it is like celebrated by everybody. You're trying all week or 2 weeks that you're there to be an I'm third kind of person, to put God first, others second, and yourself third. There's a four square life award where it talks about Jesus growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. And so you're trying to grow in those things like while you're at camp. That is a socially acceptable thing to do. And so the acceptance that's offered there for being a Christian leads to influence. This is a principle that can work either way. This is what makes friendship so great at camp and so dangerous when you come home. Because these things are also true. Whatever is acceptable when you come home in the crowd that you surround yourself with, that is what is going to influence you. So you want to know why the camp high dies, why the fire goes out? It's not because God was at camp and he's not here. It's not because the counselors are better at camp than the adults that are in your life here. It's not because the Bible was better at camp. You know, it's not because, it's because who surrounding you is influencing you, whether you like it or not, because we're all acceptance magnets. We're not rejection magnets. And acceptance naturally leads to influence. Let me say it another way. If you're going to write anything down tonight, write this down. More than anything, it is friends that influence the direction and quality of life. More than anything, especially for you in high school, it's your friends. It's your friends. You hear me? It's your friends that influence the direction that your life is going and the quality of your life. Now, this is not David Peniel's idea. I'm not very smart. This is the wisest man who ever lived idea. Thank you for laughing at that. This is Solomon's idea, and this is the only passage of Scripture we are going to open up for you tonight, but it is worth just focusing on this one verse, all right? This is Proverbs 13:20. And you might have heard this before, but it says this: you walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. All right, so at camp, you're walking with wise people, people who desire to spend time with God, desire to honor him with their lives, desire to get sin out of their lives, to confess sin regularly, to forgive one another, to accept one another, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That is the environment of camp. Those are the friends that you have at camp. So you walk with these wise friends and you are on fire. You are growing in wisdom because of who you're surrounded by. But then if you're surrounded by fools, you suffer harm. The fire inside you suffers harm. It's like water being poured on it, and it goes out. It doesn't say you become a fool, but it does say you suffer because of who you hang around. If you ever have trouble, by the way, remembering this, I want you guys to try to memorize this verse because this is a great one to live by. This is how I remember it. This is probably one of the most helpful verses for people aged 13 to 20. 13, 20. Easy way to remember it. When you're 13 to 20, your friends matter in an epic way. And so you want to remember, all right, Proverbs, what is it? Oh, it's 13, 20. So when I'm 13 to when I'm 20, my friends matter. He who walks with the wise, I walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I can already hear some excuses, and you might not be making them now, but I want to tell you some things that you're going to think about. Number one, somebody in this room might be thinking this: Jesus hung out with sinners, so shouldn't I be surrounded and walk with sinners? This verse contradicts the Bible. Or how am I supposed to reject my friends? Like, you're sitting there, you're thinking about the people that you walk with, the friends that you hang out with the most, your last 20 text messages on your phone. Are they wise or are they foolish? What you did this weekend and who you hung out with this weekend, were they wise people or were they foolish people? Some of you guys are dating someone that is foolish. All right? And you're thinking, What does God expect me to do with this? Does he expect me to reject people? Now do I just have to say, no, I can't hang out with you. You're a fool. I don't want to suffer harm. Is that what you're supposed to do? Here's what I want to tell you. This verse can get really complicated. I just want to be honest. If you really want to walk with wise people and avoid being a companion of fools, it can complicate your life. It can make you really have to go to the Lord and process through, God, how do I allow these wicked people, these fools that are around me, how do I allow them into my life? How do I be an influence? All right, you two guys have been talking. I want you to zip it and listen because this is important for you. Okay? Thank you. How do I discern, God? How do I discern? Who do I hang out with? Who do I not hang out with? Because I want to be an influencer, but I don't want to be influenced. That's tricky. That's difficult. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm saying it's very complicated. Also, I have a group of friends, and the group of friends, they're all fools, and I'm suffering for it. All right? I've been there. My Bible study in 10th grade in high school started going off the deep end. They started dropping me off at 10 p.m. They started going out drinking. All right. And they started, you know, wanting to still be my friend, but also wanting to go a different direction. So I've been in that position where it's like, all right, am I going to be this companion and suffer? Even though I'm not doing the things that they're doing, I would still suffer being in those environments. Do I want to do that, or do I need to distance myself? That's complicated. That's tricky. If I do distance myself, who am I friends with now? Well, how do I find new friends? Right? All of these things are complicated. And tonight, here's what I want to ask you. Let's set those complicated issues like, all right, how do I still be an influencer without being influenced? Or what do I do with this group of friends that I have that are harmful to me, but they're my friends and I've known them all my life? Those are two really important questions. Let's set those aside tonight. All right, I want you to talk to your leaders. You can talk to me, talk to somebody about them, but you're going to have to wrestle through those over a period of time. Here's what I want to do tonight, is I just want to focus on one thing. I want to ask you to do one thing. I want to ask you to consider, who are the wise? Let's just focus on the positive side of the equation tonight. Who are the wise people in your life? Who are the wise people in your life? When you go to camp, you know who those people are. It's everyone. Who are the camp people that are in your life? And then the companion question with that is, how can I walk with them? This is the question for you to go into summer with. Who are you going to walk with? So forget about all the other stuff for now. And just focus on, all right, I might have 20 unwise friends, but who are the three wise people that I know in my life? And how can I walk with them? And so I want to give you a very practical application. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to beg you to do something. Get out your phone right now. Some of you guys got a free journal. Get the journal out. Look for somebody that has a pen. Open it up. I want everybody to write something down. If you don't have something to write on, have a friend write it down for you, or whatever it is. I want you to write down four words, all right? And they're these four words. Spend more time with. Spend more time with. And then you've got three blanks. And let's just keep it at three. But I want to ask you to do this. You don't have to do it right now. Now you've got this written down, spend more time with, and you've got your three blanks. All right. I want you to take some time, take a minute tonight, this week, and just sit down and think through, who are the wise people in my life? Who do I need to spend more time? They might be people you already spend time with, but it would help you to become wise and to fan the flame for God in your heart to spend more time with them. And I want you to write down somewhere in your phone, on a piece of paper, fold it up, put it in your desk, I don't care. But actually, like, do the work to before God, write it down. Write down three names. Spend more time with. And they could be your leader, it could be a young life leader, it could be an adult, it could be a camp counselor that now lives in town. Like, it doesn't have to be peers, it could be somebody that's older than you, younger than you, goes to a different school, it doesn't matter over the summer. But who can you spend more time with? And then, once you've got those three names, I just want to ask you, make the effort. Just make the effort, like text them, call them, look them up. And just say, hey, let's go do something. Like, whatever it is, go see a movie. Like, make the effort. Because I'm telling you, when you go to camp, there's not more God at camp. There's not some special faucet being poured down there. It's the environment. It's the people that you're surrounded by. And that's why I don't have mountaintop experiences anymore. It's because I'm walking with wise people every day. A majority of my life is spent walking with the wise. And when there's fools that enter my life, it is for the reason of ministry and serving them and interacting with them, not finding companionship and acceptance there. I've got acceptance. We're all acceptance magnets. But I get my acceptance from people who are going to influence me towards Christ, not away from him. And that needs to be where you get your acceptance. Everybody's going to get acceptance somewhere. I'm asking you to consider where you want to get it. So at some point, I want you to write down three names. I also want you to ask yourself this question just in your head. Who's writing down my name? Not David Peniel, but like your name. Who's writing down your name? What reason would anybody have to say that you would be someone that your acceptance would lead to influence towards Christ. I would hope that there would be dozens of people in this room writing down your name on this list. I want to close with just a picture of this. This is a great example from this room of what this looks like. And now the girls know what's coming because I teased them with it beforehand. I said, oh, girls, I'm so glad you're here because I'm going to put you on the spot tonight. So this is a picture from our ski trip this year and a few pictures. And on the bottom left, you have Emma K. Martinez. And then you have Caroline Cash, and then you have some of the goofy pictures that we did on the ski trip, and, you know, there's Caroline. And so up here in the upper right, this is from Emma's Instagram. If you want to follow her, get out your phone. It's Emma K. Martinez. Starting the first day of the new year right, 1113, hashtag ski shoreline, and then she said at Caroline Cash. You can also follow Caroline Cash on there. These are two young ladies that are a part of our ministry, and Emma goes to school at J.J. Pierce. Where's Emma? Yeah, that's right. Okay, and then Caroline goes to TCA. Right? They go to totally different schools. They had friends tell them, oh, you guys should be friends, but they weren't ever really friends until they met on the ski trip. And so they got into this community on the ski trip and this environment where iron is sharpening iron, we're walking with the wise and becoming wise, and they became friends. And then, without doing this exercise, they decided, spend more time with, and they filled in the blank with each other's names. Because they are people that wanted to maintain their walk with Christ. And somehow they're wise enough to know that who they walk with is who they will become more like. And they wanted to become more like Christ together with each other. So here's a few more pictures from Emma's Instagram. Here's a little collage. And these are other young women that Emma is walking with. They're all ski buddies. So then there's, I don't know what nubs means. It means something. But then there's all her ski buddies that Emma's walking with. Here's another picture of Emma and Caroline. They rock, they're blessed, they're choosing joy together. They're all flipping cute. There's a photo bomb in the background. And they have the best smiles. Then here's another one. All right, now Emma's making friends with Morgan Dishman, who's another girl that's not in her small group, that doesn't go to her school, but she's like, I want to walk with wise people, so I'm going to hang with Morgan. We're going to get on a hammock together and have a usual Saturday. And then M's going to be so gel about that. Chandler's going to love, love, love it. And then Kelly's also going to be jealous. All right, here's another one. Emma's walking with the wise. Caroline now on a hammock. I wonder if now Morgan was so gel that Caroline got in the hammock. But did you mean to say emo, or is it supposed to be Eno? What is Eno? Oh, hammock. Okay, good. So the Eno life, and then Silva Bell's like, are y'all friends? She forgot how to spell R. And then Emma's like, yeah. Wait, since when? Chandler forgot all sorts of vowels in there. But they're walking together. Here's another, it just keeps going. Now they're both sick. They can't even taste it. So somehow that makes the empty calories. Selfie Sunday, right? Here's another one. They're walking together. This time they have the same outfit, but opposite colors, I guess gray. And then tonight they're wearing the exact same pair of shorts. Not one pair of shorts, with one leg in each, but two separate pairs that match. So Twin Tuesday, I guess, they just made that up. Is that all? Is that the last one? Is there one? There's one more. Here they are. This is a couple weeks ago, 14 weeks ago. So I kind of love you. They're at D-Town. Oh, that's at D-Town. I kind of love you even more. They're in love now. Oh, that's Emma. Your name used to be Emma B. Rockin' Like This. Hi, that's cool. That's cool. All right. That's all of them. Here's the thing. I don't know them well, But I know this. As much as anyone in this room, as much as any high schooler that I know, they're walking with God. They're on fire for God. They're not roller coastering with God as much as most of the high schoolers that I know. And I think it has something to do with who they're walking with. And it is worth it for you to explore the possibility that when you come back from camp with your camp high, if you don't change who you're hanging around and who you're walking through life with, then you can almost bet that for sure, definitely, that high is going to go turn into a low real quick. But if you come back and you go, all right, who are these wise people that I need to spend more time with? And you jump in. Don't wait till you get back from camp. Jump in today. Start spending more time with them. You're going to be someone that walks with God. And you're going to find the lows don't get quite as low. And the highs stay high. It is wisdom from Solomon, not from David Peniel. And it is worth applying. So who are the most godly people you know? Who are the friends from camp that you need to make your friends at home? Who else is probably looking for some camp-type friends? And your leaders count. Your leaders, I know for my small group, I've never said no to an invitation. If somebody says, hey, can we go to dinner before small group? I say yes. Hey, can we go out to breakfast before school? What time and where? I've never said no. Your leaders count. Pick them up. This is it. This is a secret, and I think if you apply it, it will change your life. Let me pray and I have a few announcements. Dear God, I pray that everyone in this room would understand right now. It is an obvious truth, but that it would sink deep into their hearts and that they would understand with conviction our need as humans to walk with wise people. That you would give us caution on the harm that our hearts will suffer when we surround ourselves with people who are not pursuing you in the way we want to. I pray that each of these individuals in here, when they go to Camp Barnabas or when they go to Haiti or when they go to their camp this summer, that they would meet people that when they come back here to Dallas, they could continue to maintain a friendship with that would spur them on towards love and good deeds, that would sharpen them as iron sharpens iron, that would cause them to grow in wisdom, and that they would grow deeper in their relationship with you because they find acceptance from friends who also love you and their influence towards you in that. And I pray that you would just put this reminder on our hearts that they would write down names, that they would get together with people, and they would grow because of it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.